everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show. It is Monday, July 15th, 2013, kind of the middle point of summer. I know technically summer doesn't start until June something, June 20th, but in Tucson, well, summer starts earlier, so it's kind of the midpoint. Hope you had a great weekend. The Buckmaster Show, we're live weekdays noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We stream our show so you can listen to the show at your desk at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And if you miss a portion of the program, we have it posted for you to do the podcast route at buckmastershow.com, tucsoncitizen.com, and tucsonsentinel.com all have our show available. During this noon hour, it is Monday, so that means it's the Monday Political Face-Off. Our team of commentators today, Jeff Rogers, is seated to the left of me, and John Munger seated to the right. Then we will hear about the push to change how the city of Tucson offers employee pensions. We'll close out the show with the new leader of the Hermitage No-Kill Cat Shelter. So we have a wide variety for you on the program today. The comment line is open now at 790-2040, or you can follow us on the Buckmaster Show Facebook page, which is real easy to find, Bill Buckmaster. It's time for the Monday Political Face-Off. Commentator John Munger is with me. John is a Tucson attorney and former Republican candidate for Arizona governor in 2010. We also welcome back to the show Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Jeff and John, good to see both of you.
Good to see you both.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
I hope you both had a good weekend.
Had a great one.
Okay.
Had a great one.
But today's Monday and all bets are off, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. John and Vince, both of you very well-known attorneys in the Tucson area, so I am curious, and I'm sure many of our listeners are as well, about the Trayvon Martin decision, the Zimmerman decision. Many are hoping that the Justice Department will get involved. John Munger, should they get involved or just stay out of this?
Well, I'm not going to try to make a decision whether or not they should become involved. They're going to have trouble filing an action under 1983 of the Civil Rights Act, because that requires, as I recall, and Jeff, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that requires that Zimmerman have been acting under the color of law, which he never was. So I don't think they can come at him under the Civil Rights Act. He was acting purely as a private citizen under the worst of circumstances, even presuming the worst. I think the problem we've got is that this issue has become so highly politicized that it's going to look like a political prosecution if they do it. The FBI has already said in the past that they found there was no racism involved in this affair by their findings. So if they change that position, it's going to look like a political prosecution. I think it's best for the country if we the jury has found its position, taken its position. Incidentally, to have taken that position, the jury had to find, in effect, that George Zimmerman was at the bottom of the pile. They could not have found that he was at the top of the pile.
Oh, yeah.
So they had, I think as a matter of law, it's been established that he was at the bottom of the pile. There are different standards, Jeff will tell you. I just am afraid it'll be viewed as a political.
With Mr. Martin on top of him,
yes,
what you're saying.
The person doing the punching, it had to be found that it was Trayvon Martin doing the punching, or I think the jury would have had to have found the other way. So that's where we are. I'm just afraid it'll become viewed as a political prosecution.
Jeff Rogers, what do you think?
Well, there's actually another part of the criminal code that they could rely upon to bring a charge, and that would be a civil rights charge, but it would be a criminal violation, not under Section 1983 claim. But that provision has a very, very, very high standard of proof, and you have to show that it was intentional. And you have to show that it was for a racial reason. And so, you know, that's pretty tough stuff. They didn't have to get anywhere near that in this criminal case. And I think what happened in this criminal case was you just had a really poor set of lawyers for the prosecution. They did a terrible job. And and there were no
real... Where did
they
really drop the ball, Jeff?
Well, they dropped the ball in not preparing their witnesses. I mean, the first two or three witnesses out of the box were witnesses that sounded like they were for the defense, or at least were half for the defense. They also dropped the ball in that they overcharged the case to begin with. This was at best a manslaughter case. And realizing that they were losing on the intentional second-degree murder case, late in the game, they shifted and said, we'll take this lesser verdict form that we want to offer to the jury to perhaps get them to come back with a manslaughter. Well, this was at best always a manslaughter case, and if they'd done it honestly and carefully, and this lead prosecutor has a very poor reputation, and I came away from this thinking, you know, the lawyering down there must be something in the water, because, you know, I give you a five-year prosecutor here and a five-year defense attorney, and I just pick them out of a hat, they'll do a lot better job than these lawyers did. We've, you know, got a pretty good bar here in Tucson in the criminal bar, both prosecution and defense. So, you know, I think that the prosecution lost this case. I think it was winnable, but it wasn't an easy case. There's no real solid witnesses, and there was a lot of dispute about who was on top. But either way, you have to realize you've got a high standard of proof beyond a reasonable doubt, and you've got, you know, once you assert self-defense, you have to realize you don't have to prove self-defense, you just assert it. Once you've got facts asserting it to a certain degree, it is now the government's job to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that you were not engaged in self-defense. So there again, a real high standard of both proving the crime and proving that you are not acting in self-defense. So, you know, these cases are difficult, and if you don't have a lot of scientific evidence and you don't have witnesses.
I defer to Jeff, because Jeff is a criminal lawyer, and he's highly experienced and a very fine criminal lawyer. I don't do any criminal work at all, so he knows much more about it than I do. One great misunderstanding out there is that this case had anything to do, as I understand it, Jeff, and you correct me if I'm wrong, people think this case had something to do, as it was prosecuted, with the defense of Stand Your Ground. This Stand Your Ground was never litigated in this case.
No, they didn't litigate it in a pretrial hearing, which is how it's usually done in Florida. But they did get the instructions about the Stand Your Ground defense as part of the standard general instruction packet, which I thought was kind of interesting because they hadn't inserted.
Do we have that in Arizona, by the way?
Ours is not quite as onerous. We do have a Castle Doctrine, and we do have, if you're acting in defense of certain crimes, arson, sexual assault, certain serious levels of crimes, then you are presumed to be acting correctly in that circumstance. So we do have some statutes that are a little bit like that, and you don't have a requirement to withdraw or retreat or try to seek a safe haven under those statutes.
I was very interested in Jeff's comments about the prosecution. I was not impressed also with the criminal prosecution lawyers. I, again, am not a criminal lawyer. I was very impressed, on the other hand, with Mark O'Mara and Mr. West. I thought they did a superb job. I thought their presentation was respectful. It was calm. They approached the issues on the facts. They weren't trying to become passionate. They were respectful to the Martin family, to all the witnesses. And I think that carried a lot with the jury. I found that sometimes being less bombastic is far more effective, and I thought they carried that off well. I thought, frankly, the prosecution was totally outclassed by the defense in this case.
Yeah, they absolutely were. And the woman who was the lead prosecutor has quite a reputation for you know, overcharging cases to begin with down there. And I think Alan Dershowitz was interviewed yesterday and said that she really probably ought to be disbarred for some of the things she did in this case.
Yeah, they actually, the prosecution, a lot of people don't understand, has a duty to do justice, not just to win the case, but they're different than any other kind of lawyer. A prosecutor has a All the rest of us have a duty to represent our client to the best of our ability. The prosecution has a duty to do justice. And the prosecution in this case did not provide the defense, just for starters, with some important evidentiary information that the prosecution wrongfully withheld from the defense. That is wrong. The prosecution also made a mistake by letting this case get out of hand in the first place by saying first they weren't going to prosecute it. And then they were going to they got forced into prosecuting it by political machinations. It was just mishandled by the prosecution from day one.
We had a caller who did not want to go on the air, Jeff Rogers, who said this case should never have even been brought to trial. What do you say to that caller?
Well, I think there was probably enough to bring this to trial and get it through a grand jury. I mean, a grand jury's doesn't have the same standard. They have probable cause as a standard. It's not even proof, a civil burden of proof of a preponderance, and it's certainly not the same kind of proof you have for trial. So, you know, it doesn't take a lot to get somebody charged with a crime. So I think it was probably an appropriate case to take to trial, but as I said earlier, I think they overcharged it with the second-degree murder. At best, the facts only supported manslaughter.
Yeah, I think, you know, the prosecution, if you think about it, there's so that your listeners understand. As I understand it, Jeff, there's, in that state anyway, there were two ways to bring the charges. One was to have a grand jury hear it and let the grand jury make the decision whether or not it should have been prosecuted, or the prosecutors have the ability just to decide themselves. The smart way to do it, given the political ramifications of this, would have been to take this case to the grand jury and let the grand jury decide whether or not the case should be prosecuted. Then they wouldn't be undergoing all of these problems. Mm-hmm. But that in turn shows how political this prosecution was, because they had a very narrow case, certainly not a second-degree murder case, maybe a manslaughter case. I could see the case might be brought as a manslaughter case. But they should have let the grand jury decide. And then everybody would have felt the processes had been honored and there was no political taint.
Okay. Jeff, a final comment on that?
Well, I tend to agree that this was kind of a reckless prosecution, and they should have done things a little more by the book and a little bit more carefully.
All right. We're going to take a break right here. This is the Monday Political Face-Off. Jeff Rogers is here and John Munger. We will return with the Monday Political Face-Off right after this.
Hey, have you noticed all the road construction in the Tucson area?
Yes, I see lots of road work.
Yeah, in fact, the Regional Transportation Authority is funding work right now for more than a dozen projects, including bus pullouts and intersections.
I sure see lots of RTA orange signs downtown and in the region.
Yeah, and I hear new RTA projects will begin soon.
Great. The RTA projects makes for better roads and safer driving for all of us.
Getting underway, the Houghton Broadway intersection. The RTA delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back to the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show, our political face-off sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. We strongly suggest and recommend Moe and his family for all of your framing needs. This family has been doing this since 1985, and I anyway, and I think a lot of other people in this town, believe Moe does the finest job, certainly, with framing. He's got custom frame mirrors and some really good-looking art as well over there at Fort Lowell and Dodge. Jeff Rogers is here, and John Munger. It is our Monday political face-off. Been talking about the Trayvon Martin case, but I want to switch now to the news about Janet Napolitano, the former Arizona governor and head of Homeland Security. Jeff, I'll begin with you on this one. There's a lot of speculation in the Arizona Republic over the weekend, talking to different pollsters and political folks about, does Janet Napolitano now, by taking this chancellor job of the California system, does she pretty much now really limit her possibilities of getting involved again in Arizona politics?
I think she does. She's been away from the state for a very long time. Some of us still have a little bit of a sour taste about how she left and sort of left us in the clutches of Jan Brewer and what was then a much more regressive kind of Republican majority than we have right now up at the state legislature. So, some in the Democratic realm, she's not quite as popular as she was when she was governor and attorney general and U.S. attorney. And also, spending this many years in Washington and now going to another state, I think this signals to me that she's probably pretty well done with politics. This is a big race for her. She's going to triple her salary to at least $600,000. So
definitely.
I think she's got she had a good record as Homeland Security Secretary. She I really appreciated John McCain's words saying she always played with dignity and honesty and that this is probably the most thankless job in all of Washington, D.C., and I think that's probably true. She had a few glitches. There's a few things we might want to quibble with her about, but all in all, I think she protected us from external threats. I think we look at the Boston bombing as pretty much a homegrown threat, but I think she did a good job of that.
John Munger, I think a lot of Republican leaders, though, are happy to see her leave.
Well, we are. I think the main problem I had with Jan Brewer was, Janet Napolitano was when she left this state in horrible financial mess. I mean, horrible. We were $3 billion in the hole financially. She had spent money like a drunken sailor, And when the state went under, we went under big time.
Of course, those were Republican legislatures that drew up those budgets with her for her signature.
Yeah, but they were her budgets, and she was leading the charge on that, and acting as a chief executive officer and doing so, and you know, bragging about all the wonderful programs that she had. Well, she left the state in a complete mess, and the legislature and Jan Brewer, in fairness, have had to clean up after her. So we're glad she's gone. I don't agree with Jeff that she's done a fabulous job as Homeland Security. I think she's done a mediocre job. I think a lot of that, however, is the president. One of the big things that's happened today is that this concept that President Obama has started doing of enforcing only portions of the laws that he wants to enforce, which is contrary to the Constitution that says the president shall faithfully execute the laws of the United States. That means all the laws. And that has presented a problem that causes concerns. It's showing itself in the immigration debate. You can have 10 things that may go in an immigration bill, and that five may be from the Democrat side and five from the Republican side. The problem is we're afraid to implement something like that because we're afraid that the president will choose only to implement and execute the five that he likes. So the problem is it's leaving the legislature, the Congress, in a position where it can't make deals because everybody's afraid that whatever deal you make, the president will only implement his side of the deal, and that he won't implement the other side. This is a constitutional crisis of the greatest nature, and it's only begun to be talked about.
Well, in actuality, the executive department has always had some discretion. And in this case, and particularly in immigration, Janet Napolitano and this president have on average, deported twice as many people per month every month since they took office. I mean, in some respects, Democrats are very critical of the amount of deportations. And only in the last couple of years have they begun to focus on serious criminal people and say these people are more important to deport than are these other people who haven't committed a serious criminal act. And so I think that amount of discretion, you're going to always have some discretion because we don't have the resources to deport 11 million people.
Yeah, but
so you got to pick what part of that 11 million people do you want to focus on?
Well, but Jeff, that's not so much what I'm talking about. You know, there is already a law that says we will build more fence. Now, whether you agree with the fence or not, there's already a law.
And that passed in 2006.
That's right. That says the fence will be built.
Mm-hmm.
In Obamacare, there are provisions that says this is how the law will be implemented. The president has gone off and waived all kinds of provisions in Obamacare that are part of the law. Just most recently, he waived for the next year the duty of businesses to comply with that portion of the law. So he's doing this on a regular basis, and it causes Congress to say, wait, it doesn't matter what kind of deals we'll make because he'll only implement his part of the deal. And that is a problem. It needs to stop.
Well, I'd have to disagree with John on that, but you know, I think it's more of a topic for a later discussion.
It is, and I want to quickly talk about this poll that came out. The Republicans put out a poll showing that Martha McSally is running neck and neck, actually too close to call with Congressman Ron Barber. Jeff Rogers, some of your thoughts.
Well, this is put out by a group called On Message, Inc., and this is a group that polls for the Republican Party on occasion. Just before they came out with this poll, on the eve of the Massachusetts special election, they polled that race, and now we have Democrat Senator, then Congressman Markey, and their polling on that race was 46-43, Markey over the Republican Gomez. So I'm not going to put a lot of weight in this poll, given that final election was a 10-point margin, 55-45, so they quite clearly got it way wrong, and they did it right on the eve of the election. You look at also the fact that this same polling agency has been accused of and agreed to consent agreements in New Hampshire and other states to stop push polling, which is illegal in those states. And if you look at some of the questioning from their that they ask in this poll, it's a little bit kind of weighted here. Would you prefer prefer a vote for a Democrat who will support President Obama's agenda or a Republican who will be a check and balance to the president. Hmm. Now, that is the nature.
Yeah, that's a loaded question.
That's a
I agree.
Of kind of push
But still, so, John, this does indicate that Ron Barber is vulnerable.
Well, I think so. And I think we can challenge, Jeff will tell you, you can challenge any pollster, any place, any time. And what you've got to look at is it's the polls as a group. There's only one poll out. But I think it's significant that poll shows that it's a dead heat. And Martha McSally hasn't even announced yet. It's going to be a very – we talked about this last week.
We did.
It's going to be a very, very close race. There's going to be a lot of money spent on this race. And I think Martha McSally has an excellent chance of winning this race, especially since we're – international affairs is going to be one of the biggest topics, and that's her forte, and it is not Ron Barber's forte.
Okay. Jeff Rogers, going to be a close race?
I think it will be a close race, yeah. I think we will probably prevail in this, but this is a very closely divided district, and I think it favors somebody who's either a moderate Democrat or a moderate Republican.
Jeff Rogers, John Munger, thank you, gentlemen, very much. Have a great week.
Thank you. You too.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge presenting our Monday political face-off. More at moesgallery.com. Check it out. They'll take care of all your framing needs and mirrors, art for your walls. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. We'll be right back. With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The White House says it would be inappropriate for President Obama to get involved in the Justice Department decision over possible civil rights charges against George Zimmerman in the fatal shooting of Trayvon Martin. President Obama says the U.S. is a stronger force for good in the world thanks to the tradition of volunteerism nurtured by former President George H.W. Bush. The city of Detroit says it has reached a settlement with some of its creditors as it tries to get rid of billions of dollars in debt. Updating Wall Street, stocks still in positive territory as they have been throughout the day. Right now, the Dow is up about 29 points, while the NASDAQ Composite Index is trading 7 points higher, and the S&P 500 Index almost 3 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
West in La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and new pool and lobby areas, plus enhanced dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. 12:34 on this Monday afternoon. It appears voters in the city of Tucson will be deciding the fate of the city's pension system. A group called Committee for Sustainable Retirement has filed nearly double the minimum signatures required to qualify for the November ballot. Consultant Peter Zimmerman is with us, and also another consultant to the campaign, Mike Foudy. Mr. Zimmerman works for Liberty Initiative Fund, which seeks to let voters decide whether to switch Tucson's current guaranteed benefit plan for non-public safety employees to a 401-type plan. Liberty Initiative is a nationwide group seeking government pension changes, mostly through the initiative and referendum processes. Mike and Pete, good to see you both. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you.
Good to be here.
Mike, what's the most compelling reason for getting voters to take a look at this?
From my perspective, I think the biggest issue is that the city needs to manage its pension process. If you look at this, it's a situation that is beginning to get ugly. We're only 63.5% funded in terms of the required amount of money to sustain the pension department, the pension program, and the city's own management team has suggested to the city council going back a couple years that they need to switch off of the defined benefit program over to a 401k style in order to manage that. But this council has chosen not to do anything. And as a consequence, if you look at the projections in the most recent budget, we're looking at a net operating deficit annually of $250 million at the fifth year of their five-year plan.
Pete Zimmerman, the city says if this were to pass, it would bankrupt the city. What do you say?
Well, we are not trying to micromanage what the city does. That's just alarmist, and it's demagoguery, but it's just not the case.
Mike, what do you say to that?
I think Pete's right. But the truth of the matter is the city needs to become management-oriented. They've disregarded the recommendation of the city manager for a couple of years now to do this. So the people are going to step up and do it for them. Then the city needs to allocate its resources, make its budget decisions, and do its job. The city council, rather, needs to do its job and make its decisions to be responsible.
Go ahead, Pete.
I was going to just say that the act has been drafted in such a way as to not micromanage what the council does, and they have all of the decisions that on the table that they would have otherwise.
The city of Tucson argues that paying future employee retirement contributions into the present pension fund is necessary. You both say that is not true, that it's necessary because the city says it would keep it from bankruptcy. But if we go with your plan, Mike Foudy, if we go with the plan that you are asking the voters to approve, is it going to make this city's financial picture more sustainable for the long term? Is that safe to say?
Yes, for the long term. There will be painful choices.
And what will some of those be, Mike?
Well, here's the problem. The city is like a family with a credit card. and they're spending against the credit card, and they're making the minimum payments, but they're not doing anything to reduce that principal. And so consequently, the problem gets bigger and bigger and bigger until 5 years from now, it's a $250 million annual shortfall. And then it's going to be really painful, and you can see this in places like San Bernardino, San Jose, and Detroit. But if we act now, the choices will still be tough, and that we don't make those choices. The city council makes those choices. That's their responsibility, not ours. But the choices will be tough, but they'll be a lot less tough than they will be 5 years out when you're dealing with a $250 million hole in your budget.
Is it, Pete Zimmerman, is it the Pension Board of Trustees who have dropped the ball here, or the elected officials?
The elected officials.
And why is that?
Because it's their job to do the budget each year, and they have not addressed this problem.
What if we do nothing, Pete Zimmerman?
I think Mike has already hit the nail on the head when he says that $250 million perhaps in 5 years or 6 years, as the deficit increases, then they're going to have to turn to more to the general fund in order to meet the shortfall. And that, in some communities, such as San Bernardino, you may recall in the not too recent past that they had to cut their police force by 50%, and the chief of police said, buy a gun, lock your doors, we can't help you.
Why did Liberty Initiative, Pete Zimmerman, select Tucson?
The criteria had to be, first, that voters could make a change in their city charter through the initiative process. And secondly, the city had to control its own pension fund, which is not the case in many cities across the country.
Mike, will the property taxes go up and city services be cut?
I don't know. The city council will make that choice.
Pete, do you think they will be? Property taxes would go up if this is approved?
Again, I don't know. This is their job to manage the budget, and we hope that they do so in a way that's good for the voters of Tucson.
When will you know if this makes the ballot officially?
We hope by Wednesday of this week.
And when you presented this initiative and it required signatures, were people enthusiastic about signing it by and large?
Yes, yeah. It was. You know, I have to say I don't know of anybody who's done a petition drive in 30 days for 23,000 signatures when every single day was over 100 degrees. And part of the reason for that success was that the ability to people who were being approached on the street to grasp the issue, and there was a general consensus on the part of folks that, yes, we have to get this issue under control.
The city estimates that the first year would cost an additional $24 million to the city's $33 million pension contribution next year. Mike Foudy, is that what you were talking about? There would be some pain at the beginning or what?
Yeah, $24 million is not a pretty picture.
No.
It's a lot less. It's about 10% of what it'll be in 5 years. So you can take your medicine now or you can take it later, but sooner or later you're going to have to take the medicine. And when you don't take the medicine, the situation gets out of control, as in San Bernardino.
Pete, this city is in financial trouble. Is that your contention?
Bill, I think that cities all across the country are in financial trouble.
And is it due to the – how much of it is the pension problem?
It depends on the city. Mm-hmm. San Jose got into a situation where they had to put something on the ballot. It was a pension reform plan that passed by 70%, and that went back and cut. Retirement benefits to retirees, people who already had left the workforce, and this is not that kind of a draconian measure. In fact, it won't affect current employees, it won't affect current retirees, and it won't affect police or fire because they are in a state pension fund.
How will the wording be on the ballot?
Yes or no.
Just yes or no. Do you support?
Yes, and there'll be a little description.
All right.
1243, we're talking about efforts to change the city's pension fund. We can now go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Gentlemen, if you'd slip on your headsets, Matthew has a question for us. Go ahead, Matthew.
Yes, thank you, Bill. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's a question about what they're saying about it not affecting the police and fire, because, you know, if they, first of all, they are eliminating the pension for TSRS. And if for them to say that this is a reform is a misnomer. And from the moment they have started this campaign, they've been on the street and they've been presenting it as pension reform and telling people that they're saving the pension when they're actually trying to eliminate the city's pension plan. And why they're attacking the city's pension plan, which is TSRS, doesn't make sense when that's not the plan that's under stress right now. TSRS is under stress. The TSRS plan is, you know, in a down economy, is actually doing pretty well, considering that we've had almost 4 years of economic decline.
Okay, let's hear what Mike. You want to tackle that, or Pete? Which one wants?
I'll go for it.
Okay, go ahead.
Thanks for the call, Matthew. Bill, I think that the plan is not to eliminate the pension, but to change the pension from a defined benefit to a 401k style pension. It's a different kind of pension. It's still a pension. And every city employee has the deal that they were cut when they were hired still in force. It's still in effect. And every retiree is protected under this plan. If nothing is done, according to the city manager, then we're going to come to a point where we're in the same circumstance as San Bernardino, San Jose, or Detroit, where everybody's benefits, retirees, current employees, as well as new employees, are up for grabs. And the cuts will be draconian. So it's, as I said earlier, take your medicine now or take it later, but you got to take it.
Pete Zimmerman, want to add something to that? Is this an effort, as Matthew is contending, to really get away with or eliminate the whole pension system?
No, absolutely not. Its point is to replace the current system with something better. And a good example here, a young woman graduates from University of Arizona and goes to work for the city. And 5 years later, she decides to get married and stay home and raise a family. Well, under the current plan, she loses all of the benefits that she had contributed at that point in time. Under a new plan, she would be able to keep that and actually move it to somewhere up when our kids get to be six. She would still have all of the benefits that she paid into the city and could go out and get other employment.
Or go back to the city.
All right. Where can people find more information out about this?
We have a website, and that website is TucsonPensionReform.com.
Okay, and do you know, is there a number assigned yet to this proposition?
No, there is not.
Not yet? Not at this point?
Not until it gets accepted for the ballot.
But Pete, we'll let you know when it comes out.
Okay.
We'll come back and talk about it some more anytime.
Pete Zimmerman, Mike Foudy, consultants to changing the pension system here in Tucson. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for coming on the
Thank
program.
Thank you, Bill.
It was a pleasure.
For your time.
Thanks a lot. Coming up now on 1247 on The Buckmaster Show, we will be right back after this.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit RTAMobility.com or Facebook.
Want the best care for your companion animal?
then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's V-S-C-O-T.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Get back down to earth at the 2013 Silver City Clay Festival with workshops, tours, lectures, archaeological panel discussion, films, vendor fair, and three juried exhibitions with fun for the whole family. The festival kickoff event is a poker tournament fundraiser featuring genuine clay poker chips. Enjoy Clay Festival events July 27th to August 4th in Silver City, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson and 15 degrees cooler. More at clayfestival.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
At Cox Business, we don't cook the entrees, but we are in the restaurant business. Just ask Kirsten Traina, co-owner of the Liberty Market Restaurant. She prefers doing business with local suppliers, including produce from a local farm and internet and phone service from Cox Business. She counts on us for reliable internet with speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL and feature-rich business phone service. And our award-winning local support team is available 24/7. Visit coxbusiness.com to get business internet select and phone for only $99 per month. Plus, ask about next-day professional installation.
A carrot cake.
That's for me. Switch to Cox Business today and see how your business is our business. Offer valid until 9/30/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on max download speed of Cox Business Internet service 150 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second service. Other restrictions may apply. Next day install subject to availability. Eligibility restrictions may apply.
It's 12:51. You're listening to the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson and 15 degrees cooler. This is the big weekend for the Hummingbird Celebration, sponsored by Little Toad Creek Inn and Lodge. Will take place this weekend. The Gila Wilderness, one of the best places in the country right now because of the height of the migration season for thousands of hummingbirds that pass through the Gila Wilderness. So they're going to have a big festival over at the Little Toad Creek Inn and Lodge in Silver City. You can find out more about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico at southwestnewmexico.org. A lot of places to stay, including the Little Toad Creek Inn and Burrow Mountain Homestead RV Park and Spirit Canyon Lodge. Want to welcome now on the Buckmaster Show live line the Hermitage No-Kill Cat Shelter, the new executive director. He is Joe Sprague. Did I pronounce that right, Joe?
Yes, you did.
Joe Sprague is with us. And Joe, how are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. And thank you for having me on.
Tell us a little bit about the Hermitage for folks who are not aware of what goes on there. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, the Hermitage turns 48 years old this year. We are the oldest no-kill cageless shelter in the country. We currently house between 175 and 200 cats and kittens, and they're all free-range throughout the shelter. We have cats in a number of different sections. We have cats that are considered unadoptable because they have either FIV or feline leukemia, or they have they're diabetic. We also have cats with allergies, but we also have our regular household cats that are throughout the whole building that are up for adoption on a daily basis. We also offer a couple special programs for people that are not sure if the cat will fit into their home. They can do what we call foster to adopt, where they take the cat in for 90 days, and if during that time anything doesn't work out well, they can bring the cat back with no questions asked. Or if at the end of 90 days the cat is working out well and everything is going well, they can come in and actually adopt the cat.
How did you get involved, Joe?
I was hired here on May 6th, and I started with the shelter. I've been involved in the humane movement for over 30 years and recently moved to Tucson and saw that they were looking for an executive director and applied, and 2 weeks later I was hired.
Tell us a little bit about the background of the Hermitage. You say it's approaching nearly a half century. How did it get started? It's really has a unique place in the animal welfare world, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It was started by Sister Spina, and she started it actually back in 1965 at a different location, and then in 1969 she moved it to our current location, where we have been ever since. When she first started the sanctuary and shelter, she was actually starting it as a total sanctuary, and it wasn't just for cats at the time. It was for cats, dogs, birds, and any animal that wanted to come and stay here, and anything that people brought to her. But then as the years went by, she started eliminating, as pets passed on, she decided that it was more of a sanctuary for cats, and then she decided it should be a shelter and sanctuary. So that's why, as of today, we still are not only a shelter for animals to be adopted out of, but we're also here as a sanctuary for the cats that are unadoptable.
It's quite an effort, isn't it, to manage 150 cats?
Yes, it can be interesting on a day-to-day basis. And we have had upwards of 200 cats. We never go over the 200 mark. But throughout the year, with the number of cats that are adopted out, we then take additional cats in. Once we adopt out a cat, we'll replace it with another cat. Our big work, though, is with PAC. We go there, and they contact us on a daily basis and tell us the cats and kittens that are going to be euthanized, and we check to make sure that we can obtain. We either have room here in the shelter, or we have a group of about 75 foster homes throughout Tucson that will jump in and help when they're needed to help us take kittens and cats from PAC so they won't be euthanized.
Are these animals in pretty good shape, the ones you do adopt out, Joe?
Oh, yeah. They come. They're all of our cats are spayed and neutered. They have all their shots. They've been checked. All of our cats are checked by our veterinarian that comes in every Friday. Our cats are checked at least once a month. Every cat is checked on a monthly basis for health reasons and make sure that the cat is healthy. Once the cat is adopted out, we have you go to a vet from a list of vets that we have on our vet list, and you can take the cat there, and it gets a checkup and lets you know how healthy the cat is, if there's any problems or anything like that. If there seems to be a problem, you just contact us, and we will take care of the medical situation right away. Other than that, you know, you have a perfectly healthy cat, 99% of the cats that are adopted out when they go for their checkup are in perfect health.
How do we go about finding out more about the Hermitage and taking a look at the cats?
You can go online to www.hermitagecatshelter.org, and all of our current cats that are up for adoption are on there, as well as some of our kittens. You can also go to any one of the Petcos where we have permanent residence in the three main Petcos here. So people can go and see our cats and kittens there as well. But the best way to do it is just to go online and you can see, or you can go on to our Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/hermitagecats.
All right. So you've got a bunch of cats over there, and you've got cats yourself, including
yes.
Tricia, a three-legged yes. kitten. That is so cool, Joe. Appreciate your support, Joe Sprague. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, Joe Sprague is the new executive director of the Hermitage No Cat Kill Shelter here in Tucson, an organization that is worthy of your support as they push toward their 50-year anniversary. I think he said they've been around now 48 years in the Tucson area. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your residential and commercial water needs. Coming up this afternoon, it's the John C. Scott Show here on KVOI, The Voice. John's program airs from 3 to 5, Monday through Friday. Then Wake Up Tucson will be with you tomorrow morning from 6 to 8. We'll be back at 12:04. Outstanding lineup for you tomorrow. We'll be hearing, of course, from Shelley Fishman with his Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Terry Bracey, our Washington contributor, talking about the latest on immigration. We'll have the Cox Technology Report. And Anthony Gimeno starting to talk about Wildcat football. All of that's tomorrow on Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.